Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. And of all the things we may not have expected to become a congressional issue, Jay-Z and Beyoncé's fifth wedding anniversary might have been near the top of the list. But here we are with their government-approved trip to Cuba, drawing a protest from Senator Marco Rubio and two other Florida Republicans in the House. To some degree, it's about the difference between a cultural exchange trip and a plain old anniversary vacation. Let's find out why and what exactly the rules and underlying issues are with Julia Swieg, Senior Fellow and Director of Latin America Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of Cuba, What Everyone Needs to Know. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here with you.
So you can go on a cultural exchange trip to Cuba, but you can't go for tourism. Is that the distinction in the federal rules at the moment?
That's the distinction in the federal rules and in the domestic politics of the issue. But I think compared to immigration and gun control, the domestic politics around Cuba are changing a lot in this kerfluffle over Jay-Z and Beyonce is going to go away and quickly, despite the loud complaints.
Well, how do you tell tourism from cultural exchange? According to a Reuters article on this, cultural exchange travel often includes music and arts-focused trips, like they say Jay-Z and Beyonce went on. Is that not tourism, to go check out the art scene in a foreign country?
Well, without trying to defend the absurdity of the distinction, because it is absurd, I think tourism is laying on the beach with your mojito and getting a suntan, and everything else is cultural exchange.
Even the people-to-people cultural trips have been controversial, though. President Clinton first allowed them, President Bush canceled them, and President Obama reinstated them. What are the arguments on both sides?
Well, the argument against contact is that all contact all means spending of money, and if we Americans spend money, and Cuba's the only country that our own government bans us from going to, but if we spend money, that we're supporting the government, the Castro regime. The argument on the other side is that cultural, educational, people-to-people contact supports the Cuban people, especially now in this time of significant change on the island, that even if some money does wind up going into bank accounts controlled by the Cuban Central Bank, on balance, Americans are the best ambassadors of our values, the values of an open society, and barring laying on the beach and talking to nobody but our own family members, contact and travel is a good thing to support the Cuban people.
According to Reuters, the number of Americans going to Cuba since Obama re-loosened the rules is going way up to about 500,000 people in 2011. Now, 80% of them, or about 400,000, are Cuban Americans visiting relatives. The other 100,000 or so are other Americans going on these cultural exchange trips. Is that a lot compared to, say, Americans traveling to the Dominican Republic or other Caribbean countries? Do you know?
I don't know. It's still less, but it's a lot by comparison to the last peak you mentioned under the Clinton administration, when probably at the top we were talking a couple of 100,000 Americans a year. I mean, it's notable that Cuban Americans make up the bulk of this because there's this weird exception for Cuban Americans whose opposition to the Castro regime, we're told, is the reason we can't have normal diplomatic and trade relations. But Cuban Americans, I think, of all political stripe, even the ones that vote for the opponents of this Jay-Z trip, go there all the time. They're supporting their families. They're investing in Cuban small businesses. And I think they're way ahead of Washington in many ways in terms of the right thing to do.
It's different, though, when you have family in a place, right?
Sure, it's different, but it's also, you know, it's hard to find another case in the world where we're slicing and dicing and making these exceptions and distinctions other than Cuba when we're talking about First Amendment rights of American citizens. I mean, we go to countries around the world, Saudi Arabia, Iran, China, you name it, where we have profound differences of values and beliefs. but we don't get it. The American government doesn't get in the way of people doing that by and large.
You said First Amendment rights. Is there a constitutional right to be a tourist?
There's a constitutional right to travel, to express one. The right is to express oneself, and that includes in traveling where one wants to, and travel as a form of expression.
So if Beyonce and Jay-Z's trip was run through one of the standard cultural travel companies, as I gather it was.
Yes, it was.
And it was approved by the government in that context. Why did it become
this government and that government?
Why did it become a news story? Just because it was them?
Of course. I mean, of course, because it was them. And this is, and you know, pointedly, this is the woman who sang the national anthem, who serenaded the Obamas at both inaugural balls. Look, I mean, you could see this as a test balloon. It's hard for me to imagine, and I have no knowledge of this, that somebody associated with this trip didn't give some kind of heads up to the White House to see if there was any negative reaction, at least. But, of course, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z make news wherever they go, and especially in a place like Cuba where most Americans don't go.
And Marco Rubio, the lead protester of this trip, calls himself a hip-hop fan.
Well, he may well be, but he has the right to have the political views that he has.
Indeed. So this trip has come and gone. They already spent their fifth anniversary there with, according to what I read, their mothers and security guards among the entourage, and neither has spoken to the media about the trip. So is this the end of the story, except for BuzzFeed and the gossip columns, or does it launch a new policy debate?
Well, it should help condition a new policy debate that's already underway. And it's not a very loud policy debate, but I think you could see this as the sort of tip of the iceberg. You're going to see, for example, the American Chamber of Commerce taking a huge delegation of American CEOs down there later this summer. You'll see other more and more high-profile contacts, and there is right now in the Obama administration a serious discussion about what kind of foreign policy legacy this president wants to leave. And there's an opportunity after half a century to move things forward. We see congressional delegations going down there. So I think this is a high-profile piece, sort of like 10 years ago under Clinton, actually more. We had the Baltimore Orioles and the Cuban national baseball team play in one another's cities. It's the kind of thing that helps change the environment of public opinion and political debate. And frankly, we'll have to see if the Obama administration itself sees it as an opportunity.
By the way, for you as a Cuba expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, is Cuba changing a lot post-Fidel?
Raul Castro just started his second and final five-year term, and the answer is a lot. It's changing gradually and slowly, but I think inexorably. Sorry for the noise. Cuban officials now say that they plan to have fully 50% of their economy in private hands 5 years from now. There are now hundreds of thousands of licenses for small businesses, no more limits on the number of people that Cubans can hire for those businesses. Privatization isn't the word we're talking about, but it is a major change in the basic role of the state and freedoms for Cubans, including now the freedom to travel abroad, live abroad, go back and forth, and not lose their residence, not lose their property. It's a big change in Cuba, bigger than we've seen, but happening quite slowly and cautiously nevertheless.
And as for today's New York Post cover story on Jay-Z, getting ready to sell his share in the Brooklyn Nets so he can become an agent for players. I guess that's out of your expertise to comment on, right?
Sorry, I guess that it is.
We'll have to get a sports writer on tomorrow and continue to follow the travails of Jay-Z. I'm just kidding.
Hardly travails.
Julia Zweig, Senior Fellow and Director of Latin America Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of Cuba, What Everyone Needs to Know. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics on how much your name shapes your destiny. Stay with us.